Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working
at... An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, hello everyone. This is the Chuck and Julie Show, sans Julie. It's the grassroots, true straight up, brought to you by a host of wonderful people, including chiropractors and everything else that gets us onto the golf course and wherever we can make it. We've got a great show for you today. Saturday is a big meeting to decide who's going to be the next chair. Eric Grossman right now is doing a great job 30 days after the world's worst chair in the history of politics, maybe certainly of Colorado, Britta Horn, resigned and left the party total shambles. Her attorney went in and got a substantive judgment against the party that the party is fighting. She couldn't have done more to destroy the party if she tried. So we've got to go in a new direction. And I'm not sure that the people who got Britta elected should be the ones who are deciding who should be the next one. But we've got one of the great candidates, Joe Oban. Joe is well known in Republican circles for his incredible energy, ability to raise money, and he's just an absolute stalwart. Joe, thanks for joining the program.
It's great to be with you.
We've got you got a real thing going Saturday. How's that whole campaign going?
I think it's going terrific. I think there's there's a bunch of consternation. What you just said about the Britta Horn administration is a carryover, and now people are kind of feeling the pain of, I don't want to make the same mistake twice. And right. So there's certainly a lot of people that, that are in this race that are good people. I don't want to say they're not good people, but right now the party is in shambles. It needs someone that can operationally come in and fix it, raise money and quiet this chaos that's been created that's helped us lose over the last couple decades. So, I'm going to come in and I've made that commitment to everyone that, first of all, I won't betray you. So there'll never be a time that I have a conversation about one person with another person and create this kind of divide that's happening right now. I also don't believe in the word unity. I think that if we have to talk about unity, we're talking about how we get along and not mission driven towards being tactical and doing the things inside the party that are necessary to make us so we can win. Winning is the target. If the winning is the target, then we have to stay fixed on making sure that we become the people's party for the community so that people want to stop being an independent, move over to the Republican side, and that ethical Democrats that frankly don't know that they're actually more conservative than they are, and I talk about the Black and Hispanic vote specifically, that they can come over to the party and make sure that we're willing to listen.
Yeah, well, the great divide between the two sides, it's the question of who decides who our candidates are going to be. Will it be the unaffiliated, along with Republicans? Unaffiliated are now the largest group in Colorado. Will 50%. They decide who our candidates are going to be? Or will Republicans decide who Republicans are going to be? And as a practical matter, it makes a huge difference because over a long period of time, if Democratic-affiliated, leaning independents vote in our primaries, you're going to get very moderate, almost semi-democratic people nominated. As a practical matter, you can see our legislative candidates, most of them got C's and D's and F's from the Liberty Scorecard, which didn't want to hand out C's and D's and F's, but they have. And are we going to have, is that going to be the future of the party? Or is there going to be an opt-out in which we don't go and don't have semi-open primaries, but simply allow Republicans to choose Republicans? Where do you stand on that issue?
Well, Chuck, I think what you're saying is really important, the C's, D's, and F's, because those C's, D's, and F's actually don't favor anyone, Democrats, Republicans, or independents. But they certainly don't follow the conservative values that we have inside of the Republican Party. So I think that we have to hold them responsible. We have to make sure we have sticks and carrots, and we have to restore the function of the Republican Party to make sure that we carry the ideals of the party itself. We have two factions inside of the Republican Party, one that just goes along to get along and lets the mores of society and the changes be made so they can be a part of the cool kids club. And then there's the others that have been stalwarts that have actually fought and actually made sure that they maintain not just a good score in voting against bad legislation, but good scores in going out in the community and doing the things that are necessary to make sure it's representative of what the people want, not the lobbyist groups or special interests, so they can fill their own coffers. So there's a renewing and a restoration that has to happen in the party to get us to a place where we're willing to say we're not going to tolerate any longer this go along. So that's the values that I represent currently, and that's the people that I'm going to put my efforts behind to make sure that they win.
Are you for the opt-out or opposed to the opt-out?
I'm 100% for the opt-out, 100%. If you're a partridge club, you don't, and I use country clubs as a word, you don't have people on the outside come in and tell you who your members can be. And right now, we shouldn't have representatives that are outside of the party dictating who it is, puts our best foot forward. There's too much opportunity for them to rig or manipulate it to get a weaker candidate, which we saw happen in 2020, 2022, and 2024. And it also allows for basically people to pick our candidates that don't have any skin in the game. They don't have any sort of commitment to the values that we hold because they've walked away from it for whatever reason.
Right, right. Well, it's well known that Phil Anschutz and a lot of other what you call establishment Republicans have really given up on the party and really want to have jungle primaries in which there's you simply get on by paying money or getting signatures and anybody can get on. You can put an RD by your name. And the people like Barb Kirkmeyer, who's running for the Republican one, says this makes it more democratic. I must admit, I think that if you have a jungle primary, then only extremely rich will decide who the party's candidates are because they're the only ones who have the money. And I'm not really sure who else is for jungle primaries, but it seems that would be the death of the Republican Party in Colorado. And certainly billionaires would simply choose which of the top candidates they'll throw hundreds of thousands of dollars behind, because that's what it'll take to get your name out.
So there's two sides to look at it. You're absolutely right. But there is I think it's antithetical to have jungle primaries or to have chaos inside of our election system. It makes it more difficult for there's just the average person that is a part of the Republican Party to follow what's going on and to have a voice. And you've seen what's happened in elections thus far. They're largely fraudulent over the last couple of decades. They've made sure that they've, you know, always changing something. You have Ken Thierry's deal where he wants to have, you know, ranked choice voting, because again, that favors this black box type of, we can do whatever we want behind the scenes to get whatever candidate we want in that chair. But there is a group of people, there's a group of wealthy people in the state of Colorado that are completely 100% committed to the process that we have of closing the primaries and making sure that we pick our own candidates. And I can tell you that I'm having conversations with people that are really, they're really set on, hey, well, how do we actually create value? And how do we actually get back to a place where we have a foundational system that works? It's not a democracy if you have jungle primaries, right? That's you can call it a democracy, but really we're not a democracy anyway. We have a democratic process. And by being a democracy and letting the loudest voice in the room, regardless of whether it's filled with bots or filled with people that have bad intent, does not make it good for the people or good for the party. So, you know, I think that it's obvious that I tried to reach out to Phil Anschutz, was supposed to have a meeting with him. He then sends declined to have that meeting. And I guess we'll see how it goes. I'm going to keep pressing in on that to make sure we have a conversation and I figure out what it is that his ambitions have for the state. But also, you know, what's his son's ambitions? Because obviously Phil's at the end of his, you know, stepping into the political arena and he's going to be handing off the baton. So I want to see what those expectations are and whether or not they've changed.
Yeah, well, his son is Christian Anschutz, who I know vaguely. And I'm never really totally sure about his politics are. I know a little bit better about his wife's politics because she's involved in Glendale, not Glendale, in Denver, on the Alameda Street kerfuffle. And she seems like a strong limited government kind of person. But Christian has sort of stayed out, and I'm not sure whether that'll be the case or whether he'll change and decide to jump in himself. It's always hard in Colorado if you're a Republican and decide to jump in because, as you know, they come after you. The left will come after you.
The left and parts of the right that are that align with that leftist mentality. It's the craziest thing. And I was doing a video before I came on here, and I was talking about the lies that keep being told about me specifically, that somehow I'm gonna just rule with an iron fist and throw people off the boat. It's just that's contrary to how I've run my life and how I've run, companies and organizations before, where you try to basically become very tactical, set aside personal differences, and really get to the place where we can win. And so it the bad part about politics is that those what I call low blows and lies from either within our party or the left, they carry the weight that people are like, well, after it's over, well, that was just politics, and we can just all get along. But that's not the when you lie about small things, when you lie about the character of people, and then you expect them to come back into the party and just get on board, that's just not the way people are wired. People don't want to be around people that lie on a regular basis. And if you lie about the small things, you'll definitely lie about the big things.
Well, some of your opponents in the race, and more people are jumping in or have jumped in and so forth. One of them is Daryl Lee Fallon. Who ran for vice chair, won, and then resigned as vice chair. He helped get Britta elected, and I think he thinks it's perhaps his turn. Have you talked at all with Daryl Lee?
No, he's not one that I'll probably waste a lot of time with. His hubris just outruns himself, right? So he builds a runway. He always has the answer. He reads from an AI script. I don't have nothing against him other than the fact that his comments about what has happened inside of the party are largely his own fault. He quit, right? He came into the party, he quit. He had an opportunity to represent and to resist anything that Britta was doing, and he didn't do that, right? He didn't become an objective voice. He didn't dig in and create better opportunity. He didn't go raise money. And that's the other part of this party that is the problem, is that everyone says it's only one person's responsibility for the health and well-being of the organization. And so he wants to put it on Britta's shoulder, but he was there. He had a seat at the table. He had an opportunity to do great things to help make it healthier. He could have focused in on key things that he could have gotten accomplished, and he chose to basically bail. And then he came in the 13th hour, and he had everything to say about Britta and how it was everyone else's fault but his own. And then he put his hand in the hat and said, I'm the smartest guy in the room. I just don't have any. I'll listen to people. I'll obviously listen to you because you have an immense amount of wisdom that I can
It's
gain.
something.
But you're not a quitter, right? And I've never taken my advice from people who are quitters. When you make a commitment to do something, you stay in, you do it till the bitter end. You don't get out. And if it was a get out type of environment, President Trump certainly would have gotten out, given all the hassles that he had in the first administration. But what did he do? No, he came back and said, "Thank you, Daddy. I'll have another. I'm going to give you another 4 years, and I'm going to come in and I'm going to wreck it, Ralph, and make sure that we actually get to the bottom of everything that's happening collectively across the board in our country." So, that's the type of mentality I have. I don't have a quitter's mentality, and frankly, the second that you have a quitter's mentality, you can't have a seat at the table with me, and frankly, you can't ever represent me. He could be the nicest guy in the world, brother, but he certainly isn't someone that I would put in the driver's seat of any organization, let alone the state party.
Another person who has the support of the former Britta supporters is Chris McCracken, who I know very little about. Do you know him at all?
Chris McCracken, tell me who that is.
I don't know. He's running for chair. And he's kind of an
Oh,
aspiring. I'm sure
yeah.
another nice guy, but once again, if he was a British supporter, it's hard to see why you'd want to put in charge of the bus the same bus drivers that ran it into the road.
Yeah, so this is where I mean I look at things a little bit different, in that I don't think he has the capabilities, and I certainly don't think he has the ethos to run the organization given where it is right now. But I also have a lot of grace for people that voted for Britta, that have come around and said, well, she can't do the job. But keep in mind, there are a large number of people inside the SEC, inside the CRC, that voted to, and that they had confidence in her, when it was clearly, and we were in a position where there was not a whole lot good that was happening inside the party. So we have some problems inside of our deal that we're going to have to work through and make sure that people have an adequate voice, but that we set the limits and we set the definition of what it means to be successful. Because frankly, I have high expectations for myself. I have high expectations for the state party, and I have zero interest. I have zero interest in trying to window cover things and say, oh, look, it's going so well. when it's not, we're going to make it do well. We're going to carry the boulder up the hill, and I'm going to have a lot of grace for the people that voted for Britta, and just show them that there's another way to do it. And I think winning takes care of a lot, right? The more you win, the better people get on board. I've never seen a losing football team where people didn't all of a sudden become fans, start wearing the jersey. So I'm going to make people wear the jersey and drink the Kool-Aid.
Well, the third candidate is Craig Steiner.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of support in Douglas County. He has the endorsement of a couple of people I don't like, but he has the endorsement of a couple of people I really do like, including Pat Neville and Ted Harvey. He did quit the party in 2016 and said, I've had it, but he's come back. Do you know Craig at all?
I do. I know of him. And I can be forgiving of someone that leaves the party and comes back. And again, it just comes down to the ability to do a few things. And it was very telling when we were in the debates that Craig is going to be over his skis. He thinks that donors are just going to come back. They're not going to come back without a plan. They're not going to come back without some stern leadership that's able to create an outcome. And saying that you just can walk door to door and that's going to be the way that we win, we all know that that's a pipe dream. You have to be able to execute. You have to be able to raise money. And you got to make sure that that money goes a really long way to get our candidates in all 64 counties elected. So, when I'm elected as the chair, I will work with Craig very closely. He's got some good technology. He's got a good demeanor. And frankly, after the 2 years and 9 months that I'm willing to commit to this, he'd be one of the people that I'd feel comfortable handing the reins to, that would stay disciplined to the approach that we build over the next 2.5 years.
And the one that I think is maybe your...
He just can't do it now.
Yeah, right. The one that probably is your strongest opponent is Jeremy Goodall. He certainly has proven himself to the grassroots to be a strong conservative fighting for things. He's down at the convention. He gave a great speech, I thought. But he's indicated that he does need to take a salary. I'm not sure that's understandable. I'm not sure there's any money. How do you and Jeremy get along?
You know, I don't dislike Jeremy. I met with Jeremy a couple weeks after I was in. He told me how, basically it's his turn. Ray Garcia showed up at the same meeting. Coincidentally, I was supposed to have a man-to-man meeting with him, and he brought cover. And
Ray is listening in. I can see Chairman Ray up there, so he's on the broadcast.
So this is the group of people that frankly have said the most misnomers about me, that somehow I'm going to do things illegally. I'm not going to do things the right way, that I'm not well represented to make sure that I make sure whatever money we can get in the party, we do create longevity for the party financially, but also make sure we have IECs and other avenues that we can funnel money into in order to make sure that we're supporting our candidates. And the idea that you can lead by saying that your opponent is bad, this is fundamentally wrong on our side. Tell the story. I think Jeremy should be able to tell the story of his successes and not use me and start punching at me to say, oh, Joe's this, or he's going to kick everyone out of the SEC. I constantly have to rewrap some of the mistruths that are told by that group of people down in El Paso County. So, you know, this is not, we're not running for homeschool king, right? This is not a, this is not a prom king job. This is a serious job that, that needs to be fixed at a serious level. And the more conversations I have with other chairs, state chairs around the nation, the more I see that this is very, what we're going through in Colorado is it's endemic of the entire party, which means that it's a part of the Democrats to come in and destroy it. So it's hard to see a Democrat operative in the middle of that because they're operating in bad faith. But you need someone that can come in and wreck it. And I don't think that Jeremy has the ability to, one, rebuild anything because he's never built anything to begin with. And if you could build something, then we can have a conversation, but he's never done that. And his the thing that he says is that I've had a seat at the table for the last 20 years and I've been a part of every fight and every battle. But I can tell you what, I haven't been a part of a fight for 20 years where it did not get better. And over the last 20 years, if he sat at the table with others and it got progressively worse, then I would stand to question the fact that, that there's a lack of leadership and a lack of ability to solve some of the fundamental problems. And we have 64 personalities, 64 counties, and then we have to make sure that we pay attention to all 64 and not build these little groups. And so, yeah, I mean, I think Jeremy's okay. I just think that if politics are lying about people on your own side, then I want no part of it. And so it's been
like
re-
like most contests, it's gotten a little bitter.
I'm totally good. But I have to constantly go out and put videos out and do things and talk to people. I had to do it again today. I got on the phone with somebody this morning who said, you know, I'm deeply hurt by the fact that you would, you know, seek to bring people from a previous administration in. And I was like, I need to know where the bodies are buried. I can't go to Britta. So I'm going to be having a conversation with Dave and be having a conversation with people that were in that administration because they stuck around. They know where the bodies are buried and they can be really helpful on the information that now is sitting in boxes in the back of a barn from Mr. McCracken, his barn up in his county. So, you know, I'm a very transparent person. I think that scares everyone because it scares those people because they see this as, man, if Joe comes in and fixes this, it's the same fear that they have for President Trump. You know, it's this fear of if he comes in and does everything that he is doing and he knows he can do, we're going to look really bad. And I think they should look at it differently. They should look at it as if he comes in and does these things, people have a very short memory. They'll forget all about the losses. It's kind of like the Patriots, right? Where they had the winning era. We're going to have the winning era. We're going to win so big. It's going to be unbelievable. And, but nobody ever talks about the near decade and a half drought they had prior to, Bill Belichick and coming in and really wrecking the foundation of that franchise.
Well, anybody who wouldn't take, advice, from maybe the most successful chair of the Republican Party has ever had, not that he didn't have his faults, but Dave Williams, he's got to be a little insane. It's the only person who's able to raise all the money without big donors. Only one who went up to court to get Trump in, the only one who got the lawsuits started and everything else. So I praise you for being willing to take in some people from past administrations and listen to them, because some of them have a lot to say.
A lot of good advice. A lot of good advice, and you got to be willing to listen.
So, how's it? Are you getting your proxies in? You know, the one strange thing. You know, I love in person meetings. I've gotten sick of Zoom meetings, to tell you the truth. So, I'm thrilled we're having a in person meeting in Buena Vista. But I hate proxies. They've been used for the last decade to crooked results and everything else. But that's what we have right now is proxies. So, how's your proxy collection going?
Well, I don't think that I haven't done any proxy collections to date yet. I know that we're gonna sit up there and we have to give a speech, and then from there I'm gonna expect the process to play out. I am concerned about how the process is could play out given the proxies, because you know, I have people that are handing off their proxies and saying, Joe, my proxy is for you. And hoping that what that person does with that proxy is is represent well that they are going to be voting for me. So, you know, the biggest fear that I have is that we would allow dishonesty or a lack of ethics to creep into one of the most important elections I think we've had in modern time in Colorado. This election is more important than the governor's race, because there's one person in this race that if I win, we will get more Republicans will win office than we've had win in probably the last decade. And that's a pretty lofty commitment that I'm making with only 9 months and seeking a second term for 2 years. But I know for a fact, given the conversations I've had with people in the Trump administration, people in the RNC, that there's not really an appetite for any of the other candidates. They don't see that those candidates have a shot of doing anything other than continuing the anemacy of the current party. So, and it doesn't mean that they're bad people. They just don't have the talents. They don't have the abilities to fix this broken system. So, and they've never accomplished anything. And the biggest part of this, as you know, is that you have to be able to raise money. Chuck, you got to raise money, right?
Mother's milk. Mother's milk.
I mean, if you can't raise money, and we can't turn around the party, if we can't win, and this is where I get into selfish desires, if we can't win a vast majority of the legislative offices, then we're cooked. Yeah. We're cooked, right? I mean, you have three of the largest corporations in Colorado that are large multinational corporations. You got Google that's pulling out. You got Facebook that had a satellite office. They're pulling out. You have Intel that pushed in their notice. They're going to be moving their offices that they have in Colorado Springs out of Colorado. You have a lot of companies that are leaving the state.
Palantir, right?
And they're leaving.
Yeah.
Palantir left. Yeah. Right. So I don't think that I don't. And when you're negotiating with things, you know, Jeremy doesn't have the negotiation skills. He doesn't have the business skills. Nobody's going to sit at a table. He's not going to be able to sit across the table from a CEO and say, this is what we're going to be able to do, and say that he with any confidence that he can get it done. And Craig, nice guy, software guy, same thing, right? So, and the rest just stands to be told that we right now, I may not be the hero that everybody wants, but I'm definitely the hero that's necessary for right now.
Well, if I was your campaign manager, I have to say I'd start working the proxies, because it's like ballot harvesting in a Colorado election. Unless you ballot harvest, you can't win. And you gotta, because a lot of people aren't going to be coming to the meeting. And you want those proxies in hands of people you can trust, but it's going to be a wild thing. I want to thank you so much for coming on. Any last word you'd like to say to everybody about your candidacy? And
well, I will tell you this: I look forward to seeing everybody at the in Buena Vista on Saturday. I hope to see 600 faces or 591 faces. I truly believe that right now this is historic. If we're able to do what we think we can do in Buena Vista, the fight starts the next day. And the next day, I go pick up checks. We go build an office. We do all the things that are necessary. But more importantly, we win. And I think that's something that we haven't done for so long that it's about time that we get on a winning streak and we actually learn what it's like to win. And so that's the one thing I'm going to bring to the table is we're going to win big, like so big.
Well, thanks so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. And since Julie and I are delegates, bonus members, we'll see you Saturday.
All right, I'll see you there. God bless you, brother.
Take care.
All right.
That was Joe Olims. He's one of the strong candidates. Somebody I think could make a great chair. He'd be different, but I think these are tough times. The other candidate, I think, is also a strong candidate, is Jeremy Goodall. I've known Jeremy for quite a while. He's been a stalwart. He's been fighting for the grassroots. He isn't somebody who got Britta elected. And we hope to get Jeremy on. Maybe I can call out to my wife to see if... Our producer, do you have a number for Jeremy? All right, I'll shout. Julie? Julie? Well, we'll talk a little bit about a couple of things, and hopefully he wasn't scheduled to come on for another 4 or 5 minutes, so hopefully we'll be here. But you know, yesterday was interesting day politically. It was amazing. John Cornyn got crushed, which is great, by Paxton. 22 years in the Senate, never accomplished a thing. Always somebody the Democrats wanted to get an amnesty deal going or wanted to get a gun bill. And he was just crushed. Almost as exciting as that Chip Roy, who was a DeSantis supporter and said good things about Liz Cheney, got crushed in the AG's race for Attorney General in Texas. And so by Middleton. So that was another great victory for the grassroots. And I'd like to bring on another grassroots person, Jeremy Goodall. Jeremy, how's it going out there? You need to put off the mute.
There we go. Yeah, no, it's going great. We're having fun out here.
Well, you know, as I started off with just about everybody, you know, what's your view on the opt-out and whether we ought to have one or whether having unaffiliated vote in our primaries, which has resulted in much more moderate candidates, much more, some would say, Democratic light candidates, but that's what some people like in the Republican Party. What's your view on the opt-out?
Well, my view on the opt-out is that we, as the Republican Party, need to gain control of our own nomination process. And that is right now with the open primary, we have non-Republicans voting. We have Democrat money floating in, and we've got Jenna Griswold counting the ballots and telling us who our candidates are.
That's true.
And that's unacceptable as far as I'm concerned. We just actually attempted an injunction to get a closed primary.
Right.
And the judge said no, and actually cited that that 108 doesn't allow for a closed primary, and so that the language in the statutes does not allow for a closed primary. So really, our options are at this point an open primary, as we are currently suffering through, or we opt out, and therefore, as the party, decide what our process will be.
Yeah, I mean, primary is an interesting word. It's more of a definition of art. Yes, you wouldn't have a normal, what we call, term of art primary, but you could have caucus, you could have caucus and assemblies. You could do what Virginia did, where they made everybody eligible to go to the assembly and caucus.
Yeah.
And so you just go, great, call whatever you want. Everybody can be deemed a delegate and can vote. But you certainly can have a primary in which only the Republicans get to decide who Republicans should have.
Yeah, I think that's the important thing is that we need to get back to Republicans deciding Republican candidates. And if we don't do that, then we cease to functionally exist as a party. Like then if we're not in charge of who our candidates are, then the question has to be asked, who is in charge?
Yeah.
And yeah. If they're in charge, then what's the point of having a party?
Right, right. Well, certainly that's happened back in 2020 when Barb Kirkmeyer and others helped take over all of Weld County. Where'd they get all their money? They got Captain Murdoch, who is, you know, dyed and wool lefty, daughter-in-law of Rupert Murdoch. She spent all the money to it, and it hasn't left. And that used to be a conservative county. And now it is probably the most liberal county in the state, although they always are telling you how conservative they are. But Barb, I think, got a F rating from Liberty Scorecard.
Yeah.
If she didn't know what that scorecard was, which is pathetic. So it's Democratic money with Republican light kind of candidates. How do you see yourself comparing with Joe Oatman, and why are you view yourself as the stronger of the two?
Probably my wealth of experience within the party.
Mm-hmm.
I've been involved in the party since 2010. which apparently I was actually accused today on the Ryan Schuling program of being a being mentored by Dick Wadhams.
Oh no, you couldn't. Nothing could be worse. You might.
I was like,
preferring small children or eating live old people or something. I mean, what?
Yeah.
Who accused you of that?
Oh my word! And I was like, that's interesting because I've only met the guy, I think, on three different occasions. I think we shook hands once.
Did Ryan say that you were mentored by? Did Ryan say you were mentored by Dick?
He actually said it twice. The first time I thought I misheard him, but then the second time I had to take time out to correct him.
Yeah,
because that is not the wing of the party I've come up through.
No, I'd have to say. That is not a fair accusation.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Dick Wadhams very well. I've known Dick Wadhams for 15 years. He used to come on this show, and then he decided he wasn't winning enough of the debates, so he decided he didn't want to come on anymore. And on a personal basis, I like Dick. Politically, he's the worst thing in the world.
he's that kind of Karl Rove-esque.
Yes.
Splitting. Fracture everything. I personally believe that the way forward is to unify people around the issues and causes that we all can agree on.
Right.
Like the Protect Kids Colorado issues are, they're 80-20 in the general population. They are incredibly popular. They're also incredibly commonsensical.
Right.
You have to have, you know, like the fact that we actually have to tell the Democrats you got to keep boys out of girls' sports and locker rooms is just wild. And the fact that we have to tell them, no, you can't medicate and surgically alter minors while they're still developing.
Right.
Even if it is going to make them $1 million customer for you over the next 10 years, like, you don't get to do that. Life imprisonment for people that traffic children for sex. Right now, apparently, the first two or three times you get caught doing that, you end up on probation.
A free pass?
Yeah. And I'm like, that's like when people find that out, people are like, what in the world is going on? Like, this is wild stuff. And like, these are just common sense things that apparently have left the Democrat Party. I have no explanation for how wild the Democrats have gotten on this, other than they've just bought into postmodernist communist philosophy, and they want to sow discord, mayhem, and chaos.
Well, that's what they do. I mean, you know, the Fabian Society in England. You know, their symbol was a wolf in sheep's clothing, and if you want to know what. You know, Democrats really want and so forth. It's hard to figure out what they want unless you believe they want to destroy society presently and create the new man.
The new man
who doesn't drive a car around, does whatever the overlords tell him to do. I mean, if you really try to figure out what the Democratic Party stands for, I mean, you know, it's really, and I think their voters are seeing that in the sense that why should I vote for some guy who pretends he just wants to do liberal crap and so forth, when I can vote for a full-out Mandami. I mean, you know, I mean, I think the Mandamis are going to become more and more popular because they represent what they truly believe. They don't believe in individual choice or freedom. They certainly do not believe in limited government. They believe government needs to be strong in order to control the new man, I guess. But it's amazing to try to get Democrats should really tell you what they truly believe as opposed to something nice. Oh, I believe everybody should be treated equally and so forth. I'd go, well, what does that mean?
Yeah, like equally as far as like getting shipped off to a gulag or equally as far as like equal standing under the law? Because,
And I've asked this also, do you know Craig Steiner, who's also running?
Mm-hmm.
And Chris McCracken and a late entrance, Daryl Lee Fallon, kind of a surprise there.
The more the merrier, I always say. You know, I think people deserve choices.
We're getting them.
And so you got a lot of choices to choose from. But I don't think any of them bring my my understanding of how we got into the position that we find ourselves in. Most of them have been, stepped outside. In some cases, they actually dropped their Republican affiliation.
In 2016, I just looked it up. Somebody told me that before. Yeah. And I wasn't sure it was true, but yeah, in 2016, he did drop out as a Republican. He's supported by a couple of people I really like, Pat Neville and, mm-hmm. and Ted Harvey, and some other people I don't like so much.
He's a remarkably he's an intelligent and very technically savvy guy.
Uh-huh.
Probably better for a state party secretary. Maybe get your feet wet, because this is right now we're in a life or death for the survival of the Republican Party here in Colorado.
Well, that's really true, and I don't think people quite realize what Britta Horn did when she went into court unrepresented, which apparently the court allowed her to do, but got a confessed judgment saying it couldn't be contested to $250,000 for her own personal attorney. Now we're fighting that tooth and nail, but that's where it is. And if that continues, there's no real choice other than probably dissolving the party and maybe trying to start something else. But it is amazing that you can have a chair who's willing to destroy a party in order to enrich her own personal friend.
Oh, it's a truly disgusting situation. That's the problem when you go with people that are just not qualified.
Yeah, well, amazing. So what would you do day one? What would you be doing late Saturday night and Sunday if you were elected?
Well, most likely drinking from the fire hose of information as far as everything that gets everything that's kind of in process right now.
Yeah.
Once I get a handle on the information, which I would hope wouldn't take more than the weekend, but
it will.
But it'll take most of that. I think the first step is actually just reestablishing a base of operations.
Hmm.
And actually, El Paso County's county headquarters and Ken Davis, the chair of El Paso County, he's actually offered to co-locate the state party within the county headquarters. And so we can actually get a mailing address, a physical address, and actually have some
of the things that Britta did was so great. She got rid of the party headquarters, replaced it with nothing, claimed she was going to set up all these satellite offices, set up nothing, did set up an office that was called Peak Politics, or Peak, mm-hmm. Peak Republicans, which is a dissident group. And so we have no place. And that's good to hear that we could at least have a home. Go, where's the Republican Party located? Well, you know, who knows? It's out there. It's out there somewhere. Well, the big conundrum, of course, the Republican Party in Colorado is money. I mean, one, the Democrats successfully made it so you can't give but limited amounts to the party, or you could set up an IEC and try to get around it, which you really have to do if you're going to get larger sums in, which you need to get things going. But how would you raise the money when the establishment Republicans really have decided they really want a jungle primary, which will get rid of the purpose of having a party at all?
Well, the way I look at it is that the financial problems are not a cause. They're not a causal problem. They're a symptom. Hmm. And that is a symptom of the dysfunction and the lack of trust between the rank and file and body and the leadership. Especially under Britta. So my belief is that if we can bring back and restore the trust so that that the rank and file members, the precinct leaders, the voters, the precinct walkers, the folks that do the actual volunteer work, if we can get their trust back, that they know that they're not just being sent off into the void, I think we can raise through small donor committees. We can raise a lot of money very quickly, and I think that if we can reestablish trust, there's a reason people don't hand $100 bills to the homeless guy on the corner. You're just basically at that point aiding and abetting dysfunction. And it's kind of the same problem here is, you know, when the Republican Party says, hey, give us money, people look at it and go, if I put money on this, it's going to go badly and we're going to give them more opportunity to go even worse.
Yeah.
And so what we need to do is reestablish that accountability and credibility with the membership, right. Not just the state central committee, but the assemblies and the conventions and the caucus goers, and remind people why they should be proud to be Republican.
Right, right. Hard to raise money, a lot of money, though, with just small donations. I mean, having tried to raise money a lot of times for candidates and campaigns.
Oh, yeah.
It's nice when somebody gives you a big check, even if it's to an IEC or something else.
Yeah.
But that's a little challenging.
Well, the IEC route is a little bit even more, is a little bit more tricky because independent expenditure committees are independent of three things: candidates, candidate committees, and political parties. And so the independent expenditure committee, they can't be headed by the chair of the state party. No. Like, you can't do that. And so we need to like facilitate those relationships and be supportive of those. I know there's actually an independent expenditure committee associated with Protect Kids Colorado. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably the best avenue for bringing in large donations into the state.
Well, but, you know, politics is an exercise in hypocrisy.
Yeah.
We set up this weird thing that, you know, you can support something, but you don't coordinate with it. It's just kind of a joke, right? I mean,
well, it's
a joke, but you gotta figure out somehow how to be, in fact, work together, but not coordinate. And of course, the Democrats don't give a shit when they go, You know, they just go ahead and do it.
They dare you to enforce the law.
Yeah, go ahead. Go call the Attorney General on us. That'll do you a lot of good. Yeah. Maybe the Secretary of State. Yeah, get her. Get her.
So they can get her on the phone. She's going to love to laugh about what you're complaining about.
Exactly right. Well, anything you want to tell everybody? You know, there's only, what, 592? Is that the last number of how many actual people will be voting on Saturday?
I think it's actually sub 500.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's actually closer to 500.
All right. Well, the brave. what words do you have for the 500? Do you think will be best heeded by them to vote for you?
Well, drive safe. It's up in Buena Vista, and it's a decent haul from pretty much everywhere in the state. So we're all
One thing. It's equally hard to get there by everybody.
Yeah, I appreciate the sacrifice and the hard work. I've been in the SEC with everybody, working shoulder to shoulder, trying to bring some semblance of sanity and order back to this party. And so if you're there on May 30th, I do ask for your vote, and I hope to see you there. And if you have questions or concerns at this point, then you haven't watched the debates. But my phone is always on, and I'm more than happy to discuss any issues.
Julie and I will be there because we're voters. We're bonus members and stuff. So
yeah.
Well, I'll see you Saturday and the very best of luck.
Oh, well, thank you.
All right. Thanks, everybody. And we'll be back on Monday to tell you how all this turns out, who in fact won and what happened and how many fistfights there were. Maybe not the latter, but it should be. It'll be if you enjoy politics and the human condition, it should be all on display on Saturday. So have a good day, Jeremy, and everybody. We'll see you Monday.
Awesome. Thank you.